This is Scott Becker, and I'm thrilled today to be joined on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast by Chris Karam. Chris is one of the leaders at Christus Health. He'll tell us his exact role today. He's CEO of one of the health systems. We're going to talk today about something unusual. We're going to talk about politics, civility, healing, and more. And Chris, before I tee up the question, let me ask you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you, Scott, and thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, I work with Christus Health. I've been actually almost with the sisters for 35 years in January. That's a long time. I've been blessed to work in a great organization. My role is that I'm the CEO of Christus St. Francis Cabrini Hospital in Alexandria, Louisiana, but also the Senior Vice President for Christus Health Louisiana in Southeast Texas, which is 10 hospitals, most on the western side of Louisiana and down into Southeast Texas.
Today's discussion, we're just on the brink after this presidential election. For people that are, you know, following these things, are never distributed exactly when recorded. But the discussion is, like, we know that in the workplace, discussing politics is largely anathema, just causes a ton of tension. People are often surprised at the different views that other people hold. Talk to us for a moment about your thoughts on discussing or not discussing politics. And more importantly, we've got this crazily divided election. Literally, if it looks like President Biden at this moment in time will win, or Vice President Biden. But at the end of the day, 68 million votes for President Trump, 70 million votes or something close for President Biden or Vice President Biden. So people have very, very, you know, different positions every place, but very close. And talk about, do you talk about politics in the workforce? And if so or if not? And then going forward, how do you avoid the political tensions and lead to healing amongst people to get out of this awful fight that we seem to be in?
Yeah, you know, it's been a long, long campaign for, and a lot of folks, it's interesting, you go into different settings. I have the pleasure of working in a lot of different hospitals in my senior vice president role. And so it's obviously, we don't prompt the discussion, but just before a meeting or after a meeting, and sometimes even during a meeting, a topic might come up and those feelings might be presented. And it's been my experience, Scott, is that what I try to do is paint the picture about how blessed we are to live in a democracy, right? I mean, who would have thought that this many people would have gotten actively engaged in an election? That's a blessing of America. We had more people sign up with early votes than mail-in, 100 million, I think, before the actual day of the election. That's huge. I mean, people are engaged. Wouldn't you rather that than being complacent and apathetic? And so that's kind of the angle I take, is that, you know, you want to celebrate that we have a country that's alive and vibrant, and that the citizens of America are really being engaged in a democracy that, you know, that's so rich, and that's how we'll continue to do so in the future.
And how do you keep moving people towards that positive mentality that, you know, look, it's magnificent that so many people are engaged, so many people that care. Hopefully they care in a way that we don't want to kill the other side, but they care and they're engaged. And really, the vast majority of us, outside of maybe what people might think of as the fringes, largely want the same things. We want great education for our children. We want great health care. We want to be able to pursue our life, our liberty, and happiness. We want to do all those things. And most of us feel the same way, really, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, the thing that struck me on this one is that as I talk to different people in different parts of the country, in different political camps, they really struggled on who they wanted to vote for. They were totally engaged and involved and sincere in their efforts. And the way I always try to approach it, and when you're in those difficult situations, is that, you know, if somebody really is prayerful, or they discern, or they go through their process of decision making, and they do it in a way where they decide to make a decision on a political candidate, who can fault them because they're doing that? Regardless of their position, who they're voting for, they're making the most informed decision where they have the most peace about it. And once again, you got to respect that. And when you present that to people, I found they get it. They understand, you know, you're right. I guess I can't be critical for somebody else if they've gone through the process and their decision making. And this is who they feel they're most drawn to.
Yeah, no, and that's a good thought. In any sort of, you've got lots of friends on all ends of the political spectrum, But you're also one of the nicest people ever, one of the least argumentative leaders I know, but also a magnificent leader. How do you avoid that becoming a tense issue when somebody at the dinner table says, you know, we need this, and you don't agree with it, or somebody else says, one of your best friends says, I really think this, but you don't agree with it? How do you avoid that, and how do you avoid it in the family if different people have different political opinions?
Yeah, and I've lived both those, Scott. Thanks for the nice compliment, by the way. Once again, I found too, and I'm by no means an expert, it's just been my experience, is that, first of all, if you can listen, it's critically important, and respect where people are. And then also, I think if you think about talking their language, I think that's very helpful in that whole discussion process. But the listening is key, and then given that perspective that I mentioned earlier, to say, okay, I can, you know, I respect where you're coming from. I know you're doing it from the right place, and it's something that's very near and dear to your heart. And, you know, regardless of where that is, if you can respect it, they sense that, they get that energy, and I find them less argumentative in that process.
And you avoid saying things like, to the person you're discussing it with, you're absolutely crazy and your opinion is stupid, but I respect that you have the opinion. Do you avoid statements like that?
I do avoid the former that you just gave. I find once you go down that path, that's a bad path. You're not going to win in that discussion. But I've had people in the discussion that, whoa, that can be quite testy, you know, and they might say that, you know, like a lot of stuff about, you know, you can't be American if you think that way or if you vote that way, or, you know, somebody's going to work to the demise of the country. And but, you know, there's a deal that everybody's got a story. It's interesting that everybody does have a story, and it influences who they are and how they think. And so you got to respect the fact that there's something there in that core and their background that's making them respond that way. Not that it's right or wrong, and not that you're right or wrong, but if you can appreciate where they're coming from, I think it makes you a lot more tolerant and understanding and listen to what they have to say.
And let me ask you to judge these statements on a 1 to 10 as to whether you think they're good ways to begin a healing discussion or not. So this is something that I might say to one of my progressive friends. You're a communist. Is that a good way to start a discussion or not?
That would be terrible. That would be on the low end.
That's bad. So then on a 1 to 10 scale, that's a 1. Now I say to my Republican right-wing friend, you're a fascist. Good or bad?
I would say that's another bad one. You're going to have to be on the 1 category there.
Those are bad. So the good thing that I'm learning from this discussion is I have a lot of room for healing. But at the end of the day, really what we're moving towards is really trying, and I say this all facetiously, is truly trying to respect and engage with our colleagues. And many of them, you know, you see this in colleagues. They come from a true position of pain in an area and an issue where they truly believe it, they really feel it in a different way than you might, and learning to respect that versus the knee-jerk craziness of half of the people that I know that just say things crazy and left and right without any real thought. But I have to learn, even when they're doing that, to dig deep and be empathetic.
Yeah, that's so true, Scott. You know, somebody told me one time, God gave us 2 eyes and 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. You know, you got to listen, you got to see it, and you need to speak less. And if you can, if I have the tendency where I want to do more, then if I can remember that ratio, it really does help out and do the listening part and try to, once again, go back down to try to understand, hey, there's something back there. There's a story here that's making them respond that way, and respect that because that's what's shaping their opinion and their passion about what they believe.
And Chris, I've had a chance to know you for 20 plus years. You're a remarkable leader and even a better human being. I've had a chance to interact with your children, your family, and so forth, and see them grow professionally. I mean, you're an unusually gifted professional and person. And I'm thrilled to get a chance to talk to you about this issue today. I'm sort of healing this political rift. I could tell by some of the things I say that I've got to get better at it, but I know if I follow some of your guidance, I can get there. Chris, thank you as always for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. What a pleasure.
Scott, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the kind words and the opportunity. And get excited that we have a fully engaged America where people are passionate about what they believe and they love their country. And that's why they say and act the way they do.
And so another thing you should never say, if you don't like the election outcome, move to Canada. Also a bad way to end a discussion.
That's probably not good advice as well. I would agree with you, Scott.
Because they ultimately love their country as much as I do, just maybe with a different perspective.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right there.
Well, Chris, great to visit with you. Thank you so much. What a magnificent job you do with Christus and with your family. Thank you
very much. Well, thanks so much. Good chatting with you.